When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey friends, you've tuned into And Just Like What? A Sex and the City Rewind podcast,
where Sex and the City superfans take a second look at the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts. Special shout out, props to Czech Republic.
Czech Republic, thank you so much for making us number one.
in a sub-category, I will admit, it's quite a niche category.
What is it?
TV reviews.
Yeah.
But we'll take it. We will take it. So now, you know, Czech Republic has now outperformed Romania as our top country.
But wait, so on Apple Podcasts or Spotify?
I think it's... Oh, Apple Podcasts. Spotify, okay. I don't know, because Spotify doesn't do such a narrow breakdown. Apple Podcasts is really OG, so I think their metrics are like just a lot easier to track. But yeah, there we go. We're stars somewhere.
I mean, so does that mean downloads or listens?
That means like... I think there's a certain percentage of a listen that counts as one stream, like one metric, right? So okay. I think it's like over a certain amount of minutes or something like that. Downloads maybe too, but I think that a listen is like almost like a download. I'm not even sure on that.
I'm excited.
I think it's really good. Hey, and you know what? By the time And Just Like That comes back around... Like, I think we have such a wonderful community, and our listenership just naturally kind of blooms around that time because people are really interested in that series. But we're gaining so many like amazing people in this community, and we love hearing from you. We love our DMs. We love all of that stuff. Like, it makes me so happy. We get such wonderful messages, and I always share them with you, Meredith.
Oh, it just fills our cup. It's truly so does. Wonderful. And I'm trying to think. I feel like it's... Remember when Friends started streaming on Netflix and a lot of Gen Z were like, have you heard of
Friends? I know. Yeah, they're like, there's this new show. It's got a retro look. It's like that. Like, this could have another reckoning, right? And I think... And just like that kind of sparked... something for some of the Gen X millennial crowd.
Well, this is what I'm curious about, because there's always licensing agreements across countries. So I'm wondering if Sex and the City, maybe there's like new licensing for it to stream.
Is it somewhere? I know it's on Europe. HBO. Oh, right. But I think it's like on all the HBO platforms for sure. So
maybe, but like,
right.
think about
it opened up just in Czech Republic recently.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious. Or even in Brazil. Remember we had like our Brazil superfan?
The Iron Curtain is falling.
or raising?
The wall has come down.
You're mixing your...
East Germany.
Let's not go the way of our Irish
They now have Levi's over there too, I heard.
Ooh.
Yes. Well,
think about Canadian Netflix. Like,
we
Canadian
get nothing.
Netflix. We get so... Okay. We get so many amazing Korean shows. I don't know if you've tapped into the glory.
I have
of
watched
Korean.
The Extraordinary Lawyer Wu. Have
you
watched this? I loved it. Yeah.
It's been recommended to me. Also, my husband is obsessed with Squid Game. He actually let my kids watch the Squid Game game show.
Okay. Is that crazy violent?
The psychosocial stuff is very intense. Like, it really upset my oldest one because he's so sensitive. But my favorite Korean show, favorite, I cannot recommend it enough. It's called Singles Inferno.
Okay.
And it's about these super hot singles who end up on this island. But it's Korean, so like the cultural
expectations. Is it a drama or is it
it's a reality.
A reality
it's like
show.
Love Island, but Korean. So if they hold a hand, if someone holds a hand, it's like the hottest, most provocative move anyone can make. It's like Elizabethan drama, but they're all in bikinis. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it.
I have to check that out. Like, I can't believe it. I can't believe that sounds entertaining. That does not sound entertaining to me.
It is riveting. It's just the micro, the slight little, it's like they always ask if they can speak. It's like, can we speak informally? Oh,
can we speak informally? That means like real, like heart to heart.
That means like, I want to suck your dick equivalent.
Can I touch your pinky?
Yeah. Okay. Let's also take a pause too. I'm a woman who I'm turning 41. I'm in my 40s, mm-hmm. and my hair, Ricky, is now in its curly era. Are you seeing my ringlets?
Wait a second. Your hair looks so good. You've got curly hair.
I know!
Oh, my God. And like thank those you for highlights. Seeing me. Those highlights.
Thank you for seeing me.
Lowlights, highlights.
I know. My hair, it's finally happened. It's the one good thing about being in my 40s. There's lots of good things, but my hair has now decided to be curly.
Wow.
Has that ever happened to anyone else? Like, can you let me know, as you age, has the texture of your hair changed? Let me know.
I think that's really intriguing. I had the most, like the biggest aging wake-up call. So I had an article someone had featured me business-wise on a blog. So they posted it on LinkedIn and I had given them my wedding picture. Like,
we
all got like headshots done at our wedding by a very good photographer in the city. And I thought that was a nice picture. And I looked, you know, it's your wedding. It's kind of like your wedding. Like you're peaking. And this person at my office said, did I see you on LinkedIn? And I'm like, oh yeah, there was I think you might've seen the post that went up from our partner. And she's like, I thought that was you. When was that picture from? And I'm like, that was 3 years ago. I'm like, how drastically different do I look? Like, it's really, that threw me in a tailspin. It was a very strange interaction, let me tell you.
I mean, that's on that person.
It's on that person.
I'm looking at you now and your hair looks fab.
Just got a cut yesterday.
You got your Springfield sweater on.
My ironic sweatshirt. It's like a nod to the ironic sweatshirts of the past.
Like, dare I say, it looks like you've had a medical grade facial.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Finally, someone noticed my medical grade facial.
You're welcome.
Well, as we know, and you know what though is really funny? So, okay. Oh, I have to tell you what I'm watching. Or what watching. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the new
Is it good? Donald Glover.
Well, it's really good. Like, we totally crushed it. The show has a lot of plot holes to me. Like, when I watch it, I'm like, none of this makes sense. Kind of like how Aiden went to get coffee filters and Big was there within seconds, and there seemed to be no interaction between them. That didn't make sense.
I was like Big hiding behind the door.
Yeah, where was Big? And then like, he's like, is that your boyfriend walking down the hall? I'm like, do you guys not all hear and see this? Like, this is a very small apartment building.
Yeah, that was weird.
Right? So there were a lot of plot holes, but very enjoyable. Like, the leads are wonderful. Maya Erskine, which is one of my favorite, like from Pen 15.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, one of the most brilliant shows ever. But the set designs. I would say Sex and the City set design, top tier for me. Like, number one, highlighted, never moved, fixed. And then this could be number two.
Really? It's just like the spaces are so
beautiful.
Real?
Beautiful.
Okay.
So well designed. So like, just, it's just design porn. It's better. The set designs are better than the show. So watch it just for that.
Wait, what did you feel about the White Lotus set design? I love the White Lotus set design.
Oh my God. I love everything. Okay. White Lotus number three. But for opening credit music, White Lotus number one fixed. There's no better opening sequence than White Lotus.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the third one.
I can't wait either. I loved it so much. So, you know.
Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I'll watch it.
Yeah, watch it. It's definitely, it's bingeable. That's the thing. It's just, it's easy to watch because it's really, the stakes are very low. I don't know. It's just seemed.
Do you know what we're watching, which which I'm like, how am I handling this? Because I think I'm just compartmentalizing it. Hmm. But the new season of True Detective with Jodie Foster.
Okay.
It is so scary.
Is it really? Because I watched the first season, excellent. Second season, so strange.
No, not good.
So yeah. Strange. There was a lounge singer scene where like a woman was singing and it was kind of the plot line she was singing or something. I was like, I'm out. This is the worst. Yeah. I hate this.
I know. Too bad, because I love Rachel McAdams. But this, so Ricky, Jodie Foster is in season 4.
I know.
Yeah.
I love Jodie Foster so much.
It is so effing scary. She's so good.
Really?
Oh my God. This last, like, we just watched episode 4 and I kept getting up.
Really?
In the middle of the night to check my doors were locked. I was like,
Really?
Wake up.
Yes,
it's exactly. Scary. Really? It's scary. It's scary.
What about Fargo? Are you watching the latest season of Fargo?
Stafford loved it. Loved John Hamm. I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I will. I watched the first season.
Yeah. It's shot in Calgary, everyone. Just so you know. Shot in our hometown. Here. All these guys come.
Most livable city in the world.
Yep. And to me, the best city in the world. All these stars come to Calgary and then rave on all the talk shows about how they spent their time in Calgary. They love the mountains. They love the restaurants. They love the Repsol Center, like the big workout center. Oh, Beans. See, Beans has an opinion.
Beans. Okay,
so that's our tangent, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just wanted to share it with you.
We just wanted to share.
We like stuff.
I have to say that as a segue into this episode, we are going to be covering The Big Time, which is season 3, episode 8, I believe. Is that right?
Yep.
And my week weirdly mirrored this episode in so many ways. So I'm going to put them, you know, the mirrors throughout this, our recap here. Just
you
kind of
ran into an ex on a yacht?
Exactly. I saw Len Schneider at the bar yesterday. My friend and I went for a cocktail. We have like a weekly ritual where we go to be with the people. It's been so good, like just to go out and have a cocktail, right? And we call it being with the people. And we chose Bridger Bar, very fabulous restaurant here, great bar, kind of good scene. Every single man was a Len Schneider. Everyone had like one earring, like a ponytail. Like it was actually hilarious. It was like all Mr. Furley, like men wearing rompers, you know, like
it was almost just so feel bad. Like that look has come back again. That was my question. It's almost cool again.
I think that there are so many single men in their 50s, 60s, and they are floundering. They don't. That's what I was seeing. Literally this man, like a 55-year-old man who has no fucking clue what personal style is. They all convened last night.
You should start like bees to a honeypot. Should I read the synopsis?
Please do.
Charlotte is completely besotted with Trey, who she just met by accident, but already considers him her groom. At a chic boat party, what's the timeline here? Like 3 months? At a chic boat party, Charlotte presents him to Carrie, who's already tired of the meeting by fate story and bumps into Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Who is there without Natasha. Despite her living with Aiden, they clearly miss each other. Samantha, who just moved to the meatpacking district, is invited by a much older new neighbor, Len. Discovering her period is 5 days late, she gets drunk and accepts to go all the way. This is sad.
That's the saddest.
But then nature steps in. To Miranda's utter and sarcastically uttered surprise. What? Steve suggests they consider making a baby. They settle for the time on a puppy he would care for. Doesn't work out, that's all that happens.
It's so bad. And the Scooby-Doo references. This man is just such an infant in this episode. He plays it well because he has to be, right?
He's not appealing.
I loved this episode. I thought this was a fabulous episode. I thought it was exactly middling, like straight down the middle.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It wasn't problematic, which is already a win.
You are exactly right.
Okay,
it was 50. It's rated 50th.
It was 50. It was right down the middle. So what does Vulture say about this episode? Because obviously my mind will change in a heartbeat if I hear Vulture differ from my own opinion.
So Carrie runs into the now married Big, who tells her he misses her, kicking off a love square. His wife, her boyfriend Aiden, that will make for a string of riveting episodes. It's true. I also don't like it. It's hard to watch.
I have a lot of opinions about this. Seeing it for the second time, I forgot how incredibly cruel Big is. It's incredible.
I agree.
And I think he's absolutely horrid. It's all instigated by him.
Yep.
All of it.
It's awful.
It's awful.
Charlotte's in fine form when she swoons over her waspy new love, and Samantha panics that she's entering menopause when her period is a week late. The only weakness here is Miranda's irritation receives childishness, which is overdone by at least half.
Well, it's
the guy
overdone,
who worked his way past Miranda's tough defenses suddenly can't turn off Scooby-Doo to have a serious conversation. Okay, fair.
I mean, honestly, this... It was like watching... I don't know, like someone who was, had some sort of cognitive disorder. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like Johnny Depp and Benny and June.
Yes. Yes. Like he's going to
so
do
a quirky.
Yeah. And he's going to do a Chaplin in impersonation, like to break. It's just so terrible. So
okay, wait, let me drop a hot tip for you that you'll like.
Please do.
Robert Lupin, who played Len, he's since passed away.
Oh.
He is a he's an actor, but he was in Jesus Christ Superstar, the movie.
No, really?
He was Apostle James.
Really? Mm-hmm. Apostle James. Did he have a solo? I don't remember. James's solo.
But he was in it.
I'm just a guy following a guy.
Jesus!
Started exciting. To believe the things I love that musical. I'm sorry, don't get me started.
It's a great musical. So he's in that. Isn't that?
Let's go out of order. I love how we go through the gals and then end with Carrie. I think it's a good format. I like it because we can really minimize. Like Charlotte, you know, Charlotte never has much until Trey comes into the picture, but still it's nauseating. It's
like, I know.
It still annoys me. She has more to work with, at least.
She's just so basic.
Yeah, she's so basic, and she's like, you know, spending so much time and she's doing this thing of playing hard to get because this is the one. So now she is designated, even though as everything I know about Charlotte is that she thinks every guy is the one. So
how is
this different? Like, I guess she just knows, right? But that's always her tactic.
I think it's because she's decided, which is then why they get divorced.
That's true. She actually proposed. Yeah. And we find out later she is the instigator here. He really is just the most passive man. He will do whatever he's told until it blows up.
Yeah. He just gets bullied into things.
Yeah. He's just getting bullied into everything.
Did you ever watch Twin Peaks? I love Kyle MacLachlan.
I like Kyle MacLachlan. I hated Twin Peaks. And I always pretended I was the one, like, I had one of my very best friends growing up loved Twin Peaks. And I would pretend that I loved it so much because I wanted to be cool like her. And you would have to put toothpicks on my eyeball, on eyes.
You would fall asleep.
I would fall into a coma watching that show. Like, you would have to tape my eyes open like Clockwork Orange to see that. Wait,
okay, did you ever watch the movie Twin Peaks?
No, why would I have watched the 2.5-hour movie and the reboot after I couldn't even watch?
Like I don't like horror movies, but I like spooky movies and thrillers. But this movie scared me so much. I had to sleep with my mom. I saw it when I was like 19 or 20. It scared me so much.
Don't get it. I don't understand. Like, it doesn't hook me. But I like Kyle MacLachlan. Like, I really do. I think he's very intriguing. I think he's, like, interesting man, like, in general. Yeah. I've heard him just talk. And he's like a wine, he owns vineyards, and I just love,
He's cool.
He's super buff. He's kind of one of these interesting faces, hey?
Yeah. Well, he's very classically handsome, but then he also, I mean, he was also great in the original Dune.
I know.
David Lynch Dune.
I know. The original Dune is really good.
It's so weird. I love it. Okay. Anyways.
Okay. So, you know, whatever. See, he finally, at the end, and I don't know, this seemed like a bit of a ploy to just have sex or some sort of sexual contact. He tells Charlotte at the very end of the show, basically, that he loves her and she gives him a hand job. That's what we have from Charlotte.
Yeah, that's what we get from Charlotte. It's funny because Carrie says, oh, you're the everything but girl. Because
didn't you know Charlotte a lot refused, of those?
Stray says he loves her, so he gets so he got a hand job.
Yeah.
Okay, so Samantha. It's all
negotiating. Samantha, more interesting little plot line here.
Yeah, they talk about menopause, which I like. That's cool.
Yeah, and like, I think that her identity is so linked to being fertile and to being like a woman, like whatever her definition of being like as womanly as possible,
like maiden like, type of woman.
Yeah,
she doesn't want to have kids, but she wants to. Yeah, like her. There's an idea that menopause. I guess it's maybe synonymous with being like a golden girl, that like sex is done for you.
Yeah, that sex would be done for you and that you wouldn't be like that. Yeah, like that as desirable, like just even your pheromones, right? So but to see her self-hate, like when she really thinks she's going into menopause, is really hard. So here we have Samantha's in the meatpacking district now. She goes into lobby. She sees that she's being targeted. It's the 90s version of spam.
Of Facebook ads,
right? Yeah. And that version is getting direct mail. Because it used to be like that. Like you would just get a piece of mail and think, why am I getting the Spiegel catalog?
Well, I mean, you can buy mailing lists. We know that.
You can buy mailing lists, exactly.
Yeah, and target an audience.
I
like mail too. I wanted to get a catalog. Remember when you used to get the Land's End catalog?
Oh, a Land's End, a J. Crew, Land's End.
Even Sears. Like my cousins grew up in the Spiegel country. They would order all their clothes from Sears. Like they'd get their Christmas dresses from Sears.
We used to get a very fancy catalog in the 90s. And I can't remember. I think it was Spiegel. It was one of those ones that would be like a motorcycle and a Maserati in the back. Like it was wild. Like it was just a true dream. And I think my mom actually subscribed to that just to keep us entertained, like to look at what there is out there, you know?
Well, like, yeah, the Lee Valley. I loved Lee Valley.
Oh, I still get the Lee Valley because I'm such a valued customer there that I do get the Lee Valley catalogs. Well,
this is the thing. It's like people actually love them, but they're so expensive to produce.
I get the Design Within Reach catalog still, like with the Herman Miller in it and everything. Oh, cool. It's really fun.
Ouch.
Just one list you never want to get onto is Uline. Uline is like a supplies, like they do like boxes and cleaning supplies. When I started my hand sanitizer business, we bought a lot from Uline.
Yeah.
And their catalogs are 400 pages. They send one every month. It's bizarre. Like their print is alive at Uline, let me tell you.
Oh, that's funny.
But I still subscribe. Do you subscribe to any magazines?
Yeah, I do. I get New York. I get Chatelaine. I get all my alumni magazines. I get Tidings and the UVA one. Tidings is the one from King's College.
King's, oh yes.
So I get, and I get Avenue, and I get Avenue, so I have five subscriptions.
That's really
I used to
nice.
Get Bon Appetit.
Do they still print? No.
But yeah, when they were printing.
Yeah.
I used to get Savoir when it was printing.
Oh, so
I loved
fun. Yes.
That one. I get Spur, Avenue, Chatelaine, New York, and all my alumni.
All to your home. That's really nice. I get Vogue and Architectural Digest. The Condé Nast I support. And I should be getting Avenue. I'm sorry. I should be getting Avenue. I'll subscribe to that. And it's so nice to get that in the mail. Anyway, so she gets this menopause catalog or magazine in the mail. I'm not even sure what that product is.
Doesn't it feel like you're getting a present?
Yes.
Right?
I feel like I'm getting, so when I moved into my new house, there was a no flyers. I peeled that goddamn sticker off of the mailbox. I want every flyer.
I love a flyer.
I want like, everything.
Like the Amazon Christmas catalog where there's the stickers where the kids can put it beside the toys they want. It's great marketing.
I've never seen that, but yes, I want all of it. I want to see all of the weird little liquor stores. Like what?
Me? What's on sale?
What Copper Moon is on sale now?
Is it a box?
Yeah. Which box am I going to get this week?
I know. I love it. Basically, send us flyers. I'm going to go subscribe for a bunch.
I want it all. There should almost be like a business that compiles all the best catalogs, flyers that are available. All the mailing lists you want to be on. And you go and you just opt in.
I would love it.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Okay.
So my new targeted Facebook ads are for like somatic hip release where you just stretch and cry a lot. That's my what I'm being targeted.
Interesting.
With. Yeah.
I'm still being targeted to highly gay underwear. Like I mean, underwear you never knew could exist.
Like, defies like Babar, all design Babar logic. Babar prints.
Oh, exactly right. A well placed trunk.
Yeah.
Things you would be shocked people would buy.
I want to see it. Are you still getting, are you still part of the furry marketing?
Furry. Yes, I'm in part of the furry. I've gone much more like feminine men marketing, like moo-moos.
I get shapewear and somatic hip release.
Oh, shapewear. That actually, this episode had the best fashion and styling. This was the best yet, I think, in the show. I have to say.
You say that every episode, and I love you for it. Continue.
I loved it. Carrie's tights that went up mid rib cage, those purple tights.
Yeah, those were cool.
That was amazing.
With her sequined skirt. So cute.
All her mob boss hair.
Yeah.
And just, it all looked so good. It gave me, that's another thing that was like very current. It gave me Miley Cyrus at the Grammy.
Yes, vibes. I love. I was like, I need my hair big all the time.
Do it. Miley you've Cyrus got it. You
looked amazing.
Do big hair. Big hair is in. And
big
and
hair is
Carrie
in.
Carrie had big hair. They had great styling.
Big accessories.
Big accessories. Like when Samantha was in the bathroom talking about, they were all using like MAC makeup, which was so fun. All the MAC. And she had big Chanel earrings, big costume jewelry Chanel earrings. And I'm like, this is amazing.
So Carrie described that as brunch and bathroom at Time Cafe. I love that. My favorite look, though, was Miranda's gray suit.
When they were walking down the street.
Yes.
And she had this gray suit with the red shirt, I think, on?
No, it was white with kind of like a higher collar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She looked great. Didn't look so good in the next episode. We'll get there. Please.
Yeah,
people, we'll get there. Everyone, tune in. Tune in.
Tune in.
So, yeah, Samantha discovers she's five days late. And one, I think she looks so amazing with this gold lamé kind of outfit. I can't see you anymore. But that's fine. All I can see is a Cetaphil, like a huge bottle of moisturizer, which I'm fine with.
My kids have eczema.
Why do you have a big pot of moisturizer on hand?
Because my kids have
a big Eucerin.
Because I use it while I watch my porn.
No. So she looks so good with this lamé kind of top, and her hair is kind of styled like a, kind of like, you know, that guy kind of style pulled back over your ears and she's spraying it with Finesse hairspray, which I think is amazing. And she tells the girls, guys, I have something very shocking. Come
it
around.
It might shock you.
Come around. And they all gather around.
Yep.
And she's like, I'm a little older than you. It's the best. It is the best. I think that Samantha's still getting very cliche storylines, but this actor, like Kim Cattrall, is acting the shit. She is like, I'm going to turn up the comedy to an 11 here if I'm getting this material.
Oh, she understands the assignment.
Oh, she gets it.
Yeah.
Her face when Len is fucking her. is something else. And when she discovers she's had her period, it's just, it's brilliant. It's a sad scene, but she's hilarious.
It is sad because she's like, she decides to sleep with Len, who is this, we'll post a picture of him. Oh. He's ponytailed, long earrings,
white divorced dad.
Yeah.
Out on the scene. Sad, sad, sad. He's playing jazz.
Yeah, he collects art.
Collects art. He has
everything you would think about.
He has the cliche. Pratisi sheets. And I thought that was very funny because I've wanted Pratisi sheets all my life, like since I was very young.
And he bleeds all, and she, Samantha
she bleeds all over them. And they are expensive. So I do get, you know, it was sad because of that for me alone.
But Samantha, I don't like it that she decides she sleeps with Len because she's worried that she's aging. I didn't like that.
This is just a violation to me. It just seems so violating. Like,
yeah, it says poor Samantha sleeps with him and his hip because he's a hip replacement.
Oh, you have to be so careful. And then we go on to Miranda, who has a lot more to work with, I think, because she has the toddler named toddler confidence named Steve.
So Steve decides that he wants to have a baby. They see a baby at this Japanese restaurant, and Miranda is awful. She's like, "Oh, I don't like a baby with my dinner." And it's like, "You're rude. You're rude."
Welcome to people who don't have children. You know what? Welcome to people who don't have children, Meredith.
You're like, you don't want a baby with your dinner.
I don't want to hear that.
So it's very, I think it's a very North American perspective that kids aren't included in day-to-day life. Yeah. It's like seen and not heard.
I didn't go to a restaurant until I was like 5 or 6, I think.
So we took our kids out to eat since they were born. Like it was just, we go out, you know, we'd go to happy hour. We'd go, you know, we'd just have our kids in their buckets. So my kids are very good at a restaurant because they've been going since they were little. And like we bring all the stuff. We bring like coloring and craft books and so and like they'll ask
your
to go.
Your kids are angels. Your kids are angels.
My kids are the best kids who's ever been alive.
They're amazing. But most aren't. And yeah, I just have this memory of my mom like with full makeup, full perfume, fur coat, leaving me every night to go out with my dad.
Full fur coat in Yorkton? Where are they going? Furs,
Cadillac, we had it all.
Where are they going?
I have no idea where they went. where this restaurant? We had a couple fancier. I don't know, but it was fancy times.
Is there any way your parents could have been swingers?
Unless the swinging was at the Apostolic Church, which is possible back then. It was all like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was a little interesting times.
It was a different time.
Steve is so gross and she has to clean his face and his bib as he's eating ramen. And he's like, "I want a baby. It'll be fun."
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'll watch Sesame Street with it.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. And Miranda's like, would be up with it all night and then working all day to pay for the apartment that you get to watch Sesame Street in. And at that point I was like, they're not going to make it.
This is not a good thing. And then, then we basically cut to him watching Scooby-Doo as she's like literally creating a deposition or something. And he's somehow mad at her.
She's trying to make partner. Like Miranda is trying to make partner, which is a big effing deal. Like she is a boss.
Yeah. And he's like, "Well, you can have positive attitude."
Yeah.
Really? Like, who? Wow. Excuse me. Who the hell would have a positive attitude if you went into that room and there's a man ignoring you? And the most important thing in his field of vision is Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. And he's eating like Lucky Charms. It's repugnant. It's repulsive. And then so they get a puppy, but then they ultimately break up.
But his train of thought is that Scooby-Doo. Puppy. We should get a puppy. Exactly. And name him Scooby-Doo.
And he's like, he thinks it would be good for them.
You know? And she's like, "You know what? This is not going to work." And she loses that partner and makes partner the next day. And I'm like, "You go, girl, Miranda."
I know. I was happy for her.
This is an example of where a show went where it should.
Yes.
She went for her career. It's not like most shows, even, I have to say, like, this is touchy, but even with, like, when a woman is faced with possibly having an abortion or having a child, it always goes with having the child.
I know.
Always. You know, you never, like, see that story. So for her to choose her career in that moment was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do. It's like every Hallmark movie, every Hallmark Christmas movie is like a big corporate partner in a law firm decides to move back home to be a slave on a Christmas tree farm.
Exactly, right? Like, and like she has to have a hot chocolate cafe.
Exactly.
That's a hot all chocolate she's cafe. Destined for.
Yeah, and like pop out babies.
That's what it is in the Lifetime world. And we didn't get that here, which is really nice.
Yeah, which I was happy. And also there's a funny thing that Miranda in the middle when I wrote this down, Charlotte's talking about how Trey's the one and like it's fate, it's meant to be. And Miranda says, men are like cabs. When they're available, they turn their light on and they marry the next woman they pick up. Oh. And it's kind of true.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
It is true. So,
Carrie's eating Chinese food in bed with Aiden.
I was worried about rodents and pests.
Oh my God. I was disgusted.
I was disgusted. Like, I'm like, this is New York City and there's roaches and you're getting food in your bed and you guys are so gross.
Yeah.
This is the other thing that happened to me. The third thing. I went to the dry cleaner and they're closed on Thursdays. Why would a dry cleaner be closed on a Thursday?
That makes zero sense.
So I couldn't get my clothes. Like Carrie.
That's funny.
I know, right? So I was like really feeling that. I was very disturbed by that scene of them eating in bed and Aiden's puka shells. shell necklaces. I'm like, how can you... how can you be attracted to him in this moment?
I mean, he's very manly. He's so big. I love how big he is.
I think that would be an extremely attractive proposition for Carrie.
Yeah.
Carrie wants big, to be carried.
He's comfortable. He doesn't mess her around. But she's then we learn that she wants to be. She wants to be
messed around. Oh, my God.
I know. I don't like it.
But you know what?
And then... Then they're on a boat, and Charlotte is wearing a dress that looks like it could be Laura Ashley.
And I'm sorry, Carrie. So Carrie was, just before this, she was in her closet talking to Aiden, being like, do you want to come to this party? I'm deciding if I should wear Gucci or McQueen. You are wearing neither of those designers on this boat, Carrie.
It's bad.
You are wearing Tristan and Isolde. Do you remember that brand? You're wearing Ricky's. You are wearing Talbots.
Reitmans.
You're wearing Reitmans at best on this boat.
I'm into Reitmans. It's because I get targeted Facebook ads for them and I like their pleather line. I said it.
Reitmans has always done a strong pleather game.
I really like their pleather. Shout out. Check it out. I got a pair of pleather army green cargo pants that I'm really into.
Army green pleather pants?
They're
it's
green.
Like a, it's like a tongue twister.
And then I got this pair of pleated ones that are like a dress, kind of a dress pant. They're black and they're like, they have like pleats on them.
Ooh, that sounds really nice. Like I always like it. I'm noticing a lot of great pleather lately out and about.
I'm just into it. Faux leather, let's call
it. Aiden only talks to Carrie in like pre-recorded, like canned bites.
Like, hey baby girl,
hey sweetums, hey hey furniture bitch, hey you know, like it's always just very surface. It's like he can't.
Hey bibbly bop boop boop.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't like that type of communication. I would find
like, well, what's Matt's pet name for you?
Nothing.
he doesn't call you Riri. Caca.
Nothing. Kiki. Oh my God.
Kiki? Kiki.
Oh my God. No. Kiki.
Kiki. Kiki. Kiki. That's cute.
I have no. Ricky is. My name is Ricky. I'm a 50 year old man who's named Ricky. Almost 50.
Don't sell yourself
I'm 48. I'm named Ricky. Do you think I now need another level of a more
infantilized
name?
I know.
A more emasculating name?
What do you call Matt? Matty-batty.
Matt. We're big very... Boy. He doesn't recognize... even like Valentine's? He doesn't even observe. He doesn't even know that that day exists.
He's European.
Exactly.
I get it.
It's a Hallmark holiday.
It's an American Hallmark holiday. I get it.
So, okay. Yes. So they're on the yacht with this Regis yacht party Philbin looks fun. And Madonna.
It looks fun. This party looks fun. I would be there.
Oh, all the canapes.
Oh my God. So fun. Like huge, huge lettuce rich canapes.
And who does she bump into?
She runs into Pig, and I just don't like him.
No, because he's actually like almost kind of like unhinged.
Yeah, it seems weird. He's just like, I don't know. He has a plan, and my thought was, go away, Big, because then he calls her afterwards. Like, why are you calling her?
He pursues her. Then he shows up at her door.
Not in this episode.
Yeah, as Aiden's leaving, she gets a knock.
In this episode?
Mm-hmm, yeah, so he's like, baby doll, Chichi Mama, you're out of coffee filters. I'm going to go down to the bodega and get it. And so he goes down and instantly there's a knock at the door.
Yeah, instantly Big's like, blip.
Big is there. There's no security. It's a secure building.
She has to let someone into the building. I know. It's stupid.
So, and he's like, I'm so fucked up. I'm so fucked. Like, he's like, I, this relationship is ending. I'm so fucked up.
Ugh.
And so, like, the Carrie's big question about all this is like, is everything's about timing. Why now? And was Miranda right? Is timing everything? So, we can go back to like, for Miranda, this relationship and having a baby, the timing is not right. She's needs to focus on her career. Trey and Charlotte keep talking about like, oh my God, like everything aligned. Like we met, it was just the perfect meet cute. Look at the timing. Yeah. Like I just happened to fall in front of this cab and he was there. Right. And then, Samantha is very concerned about the timing of her, period because it's directly linked, but Carrie's was almost like a quantum physics dilemma. I couldn't even understand it. I was literally had to pause and think like, what does she mean? Where her past catches up with her future? It was like a very, like a Stephen Hawking's like article.
I just...
Like Oppenheimer wrote
this,
that.
This is my thought. Or Inception. It's very Inception.
It's like an Inception.
So Big sees that Carrie is happy and he can't stand it. That's what this is about, no? He sees that she's happy. And so and he can't have he wants what he can't have because he likes the idea that she's pining for him.
He wants
and available.
As much as he made it seem like he didn't want the drama that Carrie brought, he actually really wants that drama. He wants that massive reaction from her.
And he sees her happy. Like he couldn't even commit to going to the Hamptons with her. And now he thinks he can come back. I don't know. I was just like, I have to say
on revisit, it was not enjoyable.
It's not to watch. It's not romantic. Cute. It's manipulative. Ugh. No, don't like it.
So that's that.
Didn't like it.
And just like that. We're intrigued, but disappointed. And disgusted.
Yeah. It's kind of what being in your 40 is. You're intrigued and disgusted. And your hair is real curly.
I feel like 40 at 48, my past is catching up with my future. I'm at that crossroads. It's pure middle age. That's what middle age is.
What does that mean?
It's because I was just talking with my friend about how we feel so young. Like, I feel young. Yeah. I feel great. I feel like, but then I look in the mirror and then my coworker tells me that I'm unrecognizable from my wedding picture.
I mean, that was rude.
Yeah.
That was rude. I had a friend say, to me that Stafford was the more attractive one in our relationship. Not true.
Would someone say that?
I know.
Dare they compliment Stafford in that way? He's hot. If people at home only knew how much more gorgeous he was. I mean, how almost as gorgeous as you he is.
Almost.
You're beautiful.
Thank you. I know it wasn't true, so I was like, whatever.
You're like, there was not a grain of truth in the statement, and I knew that in my heart, so it didn't bother me.
Okay, just let me, yeah. So I wasn't offended. I know what is morning breath, so I was like, okay, listen to this. Sex and the City is coming to Netflix April 2024.
Oh my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding?
No.
Oh my God, our ratings are going to explode.
I
start the Netflix hashtag.
I know.
Oh my God. That's good news for everyone. People, spread the word. And also, I would love to hear from everyone, if possible. send us a DM. Follow us on Instagram. What is it? And just like what pod mm-hmm. on Instagram. Follow us on wherever you find us on your podcast. Like, we're everywhere. We're on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts. Rate and review 5-star only. We got one very weird. Remember when the person rated us and was like, I might move this up if you guys improve?
I think they were just really mad about beans. And we're like, it's a pandemic.
And we're like, what do you think? We're professional? Like, yeah. Do you think we go into Time Warner every morning and record this? No.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you for your feedback.
Thank you. Thank you. And with that,
have a great week, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.